Coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas, and recorded live, Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
Great to have you back again. As we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation, today the entire program is about nanotechnology, and this is because coming up real quick is the IEEE 11th International Conference on Nanotechnology, August 15th and 18th in Portland, Oregon, at the Portland Marriott downtown. This is the flagship IEEE conference in nanotechnology. So if you're a student or an educator or a researcher, a scientist, engineer working at the interface of nanotechnology, this is where you're going to want to be. Next year is going to be in Birmingham, England. But this year we're very, very lucky because we have it in Portland, Oregon. Here's stateside. So if you want to find out more about this 11th International Conference on Nanotechnology by IEEE, all you need to do is go to our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz, and on the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link to the website of the IEEE 11th International Conference on Nanotechnology. We'll enjoy seeing you there. And so today, we're going to hear from Robert Sienkiewicz. He is the Acting Deputy Director for TIP. Now, the TIP is the Technology Innovation Program for the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And they are funding high-risk, high-reward research. So you may be able to cash in. And if you go to the Nanotechnology Conference in Portland, you'll be able to meet them and know all about it. But anyway, Robert's going to be with us here in the first half of the program. And then in the second half of the program, you're going to get to meet Matt Smith. Matt is the Director of Sales and Marketing Industrial for Olympus America Scientific Equipment Group. He is explaining some really sensational things that's going on with optical telescopes. Now, if you're a steady listener to this program, you know that we give a lot of coverage to atomic force microscopes. And, of course, there's a really good reason for that, is because to work at the nanotech level, you'd need atomic force microscopes. Well, guess what? Optical microscopes are doing some great things. And anyway, Matt Smith's going to tell us all about it. And, of course, we're going to visit the Den of Strangers, visit our fountain of useless information we have here on the set in the second half of the program, and, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. Right now, though, let's get to today's guest. What do you say?
Stand by.
At this time, we're fortunate to have as our guest Dr. Robert Sienkiewicz. He's the Acting Deputy Director of the Technology Innovation Program at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Welcome to the program, Rob.
It's great to be here, Colonel. Thank you for having me.
Now, the National Institute of Standards and Technology has this Technology Innovation Program. Now, why does the Institute have this program?
Well, Colonel, it's one of three extramural programs that exist at the Institute. We are one, the Technology Innovation Program, and we were founded and launched in 2008. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the three programs within NIST. The program provides cost-share research grant funding to small and medium-sized businesses and enterprises, or teams of businesses with institutions of higher education or other research entities for early-stage innovation research that has the potential to yield transformational impact. We belong at NIST because we're part of the scientific community, along with our sister extramural programs, the Baldrige Quality Award and the Manufacturing Extension Partnerships.
All right, now what exactly do you do? I mean, you support high risk, high reward research. What is high risk and high reward?
Well, from our perspective, high risk and high reward really means that we've got the potential to yield transformational results that are, well, that are far-ranging or have wide-ranging implications. We address areas of critical national need that support and promote and accelerate innovation in the United States, and is within our institute's areas of technical competence. And finally, by high risk, high reward, what we mean is the technologies that we fund with industry is too novel or spans too diverse of a range of disciplines to fare well in the traditional peer review process.
Well, what are the kind of high risk, high reward things you're doing? Let's really get graphic here.
Okay, if you really get graphic, we've had a total of four different competitions. We've funded things in areas of civil infrastructure. We've had two competitions in the areas of civil infrastructure and two competitions in the area of advanced manufacturing. So specifically, we've got a specific interest in the last couple of years in the areas of manufacturing and specifically nanomanufacturing. About a third of our portfolio of 38 projects is in the area of nanomanufacturing. We funded great projects from all over the country, things like companies like Liquidia, located in North Carolina, or Angstrom, which is located in Ohio. These are at the forefront of research taking place in nanotechnology. Exciting things.
What are they doing? I mean, what specifically are they about?
Specifically, Liquidia, for example, is developing nanomanufacturing materials for drug delivery devices.
Okay.
And Angstrom, on the other hand, is at the forefront of the commercialization of nanographene material.
Okay, we're talking about graphene. We've discussed that many, many times on this program, and so they're developing graphene material to use with electronics?
I believe so. You know, basically, when we talk about what Angstrom is doing, they're looking at functionalized nanographene for the next generation of enhanced, nano-enhanced products. Under our cost-share funding, they're pursuing a $3 million project, and they're developing the process for mass-producing chemically modified or functionalized nanographene for the next generation of products, specifically for the energy industry.
Oh, I see. Okay, so I notice you're part of the IEEE Nanotechnology International Conference that's going on in Portland, Oregon, and I guess you're going to be there, looking for new projects of this high-risk, high-reward category that maybe you can get some funding from the Technology Innovation Program?
Yeah, Colonel, we're always on the lookout for new projects. But we're there really at the IEEE Nano 2011 because, frankly, we're there just to say, look, we believe that nanomanufacturing is an important and growing concern and will have an impact on a vast array of U.S. businesses and U.S. industry. We're there to talk to people, to tell people who we are, what we do, and what the opportunities could be.
And you're particularly interested in funding nanotechnology projects because they are high risk and high reward. Is that right?
Well, it's one of the things in our portfolio. It's one of the things in our portfolio that we're looking at.
All right, but all of it has to do with technology. I mean, your portfolio isn't just nanotechnology, but it's all kinds of technology, right? What are some of the other things you're doing?
It's all kinds of technology. We've got a pretty rigorous white paper process by which we evaluate our potential areas of funding. We look for any, as I said earlier, our first competition it was in the area of civil infrastructure. We then translated into materials for advanced manufacturing. We also have other things that we're developing, things in the energy space, things in the water space, things in personalized medicine and healthcare, to name a few. But it is all areas where there's a clear critical national need. It's a clear critical national need. And by that, we mean areas that need government attention because the problems that we're faced with is just so large, and the societal challenge is not being sufficiently addressed by the public or by the private market acting alone.
So the concern is that the private sector won't take the risks that the government is prepared to take. Is that the message?
Well, it is. I mean, these are truly high risk, high reward research that have potential for yielding transformational results.
And so the venture capitalists who want a very quick turnaround in their investments aren't willing to get into it with a long haul, as Clayton Teague told us on this program a few weeks back, that to expect investment in any kind of a nanotechnology program looked at 10 to 15 years. Do you hold with that?
Exactly. We do. And the things that we what we've learned from our other from our predecessor program is that these projects that we fund under TIP take a long time to get to market, specifically in the areas of advanced manufacturing. So the turnaround time and the level of profitability is not as quick, and it is not as quick. So yeah, we're there at the earliest of the early stages.
Now, this has been kind of led by the president, I understand. President Obama has really put an emphasis on manufacturing, high priority, he says. Is that the reason that your organization is leading in this direction?
Well, we're leading in this direction. When I think about the president's manufacturing initiative, I also have to think about it in the context of what we're doing at NIST, specifically for the advanced manufacturing partnership. This is a national effort at that's bringing together industry and universities and the federal government to invest in all areas of emerging technologies that are going to create high quality manufacturing jobs and will be used to enhance global competitiveness. We play a critical role by not only looking at and making investments in nanomanufacturing. NIST as a whole, we're partnering with people in industry and with academia to develop the measurement tools, which is part of NIST core function, measurement, needed to enable the cost-effective inline measurement for things like closed-loop process control, things like that are required for large-scale production of nanomaterials and devices, but also through things like the Manufacturing Extension Partnership and through the Technology Innovation Program. These are all critical players, and because we're all housed at NIST, we're uniquely positioned to play a critical role in advancing this agenda.
So you're very concerned with the standards, that's what you are, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, over the purity of the materials that, nanotechnology materials that are being developed, the reliability, the non-toxicity, those sorts of things. Are those all areas that the National Institute of Standards pays close attention to?
It is, yes.
All right. What do you recommend to those interested in submitting a proposal to the program to maybe get funded?
My recommendation for those interested in submitting a proposal, this year the budget enacted for fiscal year 2011 did not include funds for new TIP awards. But right now it's a great time to learn about the program and begin formulating ideas for the next go around. And that's part of the reason why we're at the IEEE conference. To help educate the general population that about our program, about what we are, and about what we're looking for. Also, we also have opportunities to help shape future solicitations through our rigorous white paper process. And you can also subscribe to the TIP updates on our website.
Okay, why don't you give us that website while we're thinking about it?
The website is www.nist.gov/tip.
Okay, .nits, that's N-I-T-S, right? N-I-S-T, I beg your pardon, of course. N-I-S-T, okay. The other question is where do you see the agency going, in the future? Is it going to continue along these lines, or do you see innovative new things coming in the next years ahead?
We always see innovative new things coming in the years ahead. We are so hopeful for specifically all of the TIP projects that we funded, our portfolio of 38. The the greatest and the coolest stuff coming out of the energy and health and electronic nano manufacturing. I spoke a little bit about Liquidia, and I spoke a little bit about Angstrom, but we've also got companies like Amprius, who's developing silicon nanowires for advanced lithium iron batteries. These are just things that are at the absolute forefront of research and development in these areas, and we're truly hopeful for all of our portfolio companies.
What percentage rate of success do you find acceptable, Rob? I mean, you talk about high risk and high reward, but if high risk, that means there's going to be a lot of them going to go by the wayside. How many? 90%? 80%? What are you looking for?
You know, because I can't tell you definitively at this point of what the failure rate would be for the high risk, high reward project. We know that. We take that into consideration when making our funding decision. When we look for not only the technical plan, but we look for a plan for the broader economic impact. So in terms of what we do as an organization to help mitigate the risk is that we look for a project management plan, and we look for success, we look for milestones to be clearly articulated in this project management plan. So while things are high risk and things will clearly fail because of technical reasons, we look for a mitigation strategy as well.
A mitigation strategy such as, well, explain that to us a little bit here.
Well, basically what we're looking for is we're looking for companies to... So what we do to mitigate the risk when we get from a proposer company, we're looking for them to develop alternative strategies to get to the same end result. The pathways that they've got, that they're pursuing, have to be of equal technical risk. And we're looking for the proposer to retain the technical fidelity to both the way they're approaching it as well as the end goal. Basically, this all speaks to a well-thought-out scientific approach.
Could you kind of put that in layman's terms? I mean, what do you mean?
What we mean by that is that, look, if we know that when people are pursuing a high risk project, that certain things will fail. Okay, that certain experiments, certain material properties aren't going to work the way that they're theorized or postulated to work in the real world. And so what we're looking for people to say is that, look, if it doesn't work in this way, what's a different way that they could actually pursue the same end goal?
Oh, so what you're saying is that maybe the refrigeration unit won't super cool ice cubes, but it might be good for air conditioning automobiles of the future or something like that.
Possibly, yeah. But it's as much that's what you're talking about there is the end goal. We're actually talking about the way to get to the end goal. And the way that they can, you know, in looking inside the black box of the research and development, you've got a whole series of different steps with high technical risk, but may or may not be surmountable. It's getting to that end goal. It's getting over these high technical risks.
And I notice you're adjunct professor at the McDonald School of Business in Georgetown University. Is that a good source of information for you and maybe recruiting and that sort of thing?
Well, you know, we look at it both ways. I'm an adjunct professor of adjunct professor in the business school, and it's both ways. I focus on economics in the executive teaching executives in the executive MBA program, and although the students are a phenomenal source of ideas, because they're great in looking at both not only the technical but also the business applications as well. So if they've got a great technical idea, how does it actually relate to, you know, getting this into a commercial product? Absolutely phenomenal.
Well, I know as a a member of the National Institute of Standards and Technology that you might not want to answer this question, but maybe as a business professor you would, and tell us about the economy of the United States. I mean, how soon do you see business turning around for the country and heading on its way?
Oh, boy. What I can, you know, your guess is as good as mine. Economists are great at looking at the past, not predicting the future. So I'm going to looking at the past and not predicting the future. Our track record is about as good as anyone else is out there. But let me say this: I am hopeful based on the types of, based on the types of technologies that were funded, that we're funding in TIP. I'm hopeful about the long-term economic growth because I see, you know, basically looking at all of these advanced macroeconomic theories. When you're looking at growth, which is a function of technology and capital and labor, I see that so many of the ideas that we are funding at TIP and that my sister agencies are funding are really the backbone of this technology part of the economic growth equation. In terms of when it's going to happen, I don't know. But what I am is very hopeful that it will happen based on the technologies that we have funded here.
All right. That was a great answer, Rob. Thanks. Thanks a bunch.
You know, at the IEEE conference, we would like people to stop by our booth to learn about the program and to begin to envision how TIP can help accelerate their manufacturing-related nanotechnology.
Well, Dr. Robert Zankowitz, it's so good to have you with us today, the Acting Deputy Director for TIP. That's the Technology Innovation Program for the National Institute of Standards and Technology. I understand our friends at IEEE are very, very pleased that the National Institute of Standards and Technology is being part of the program. And we'll see you there in Portland, Oregon. Now we got to get on to our next guest over here.
Stand by.
Okay, right now I want to introduce you to Matt Smith. He's Director of Sales and Marketing Industrial for Olympus America Scientific Equipment Group, and we're proud to have him with us today because Olympus is one of the key sponsors of the 11th International Conference on Nanotechnology that IEEE is doing in Portland, Oregon. You hear us speak on this program lots of times. Welcome to the program, Matt.
Hello, Colonel. How are you today?
Well, I'm anticipating a good visit with you, and you're with Olympus, and there's a number of organizations that do what Olympus does, and Olympus has a reputation for doing it best, but why don't you give us some background on the Olympus organization, how it started and progressed through the years?
Certainly, I'd be happy to do that. Olympus started in the early 1900s. With their original product being a microscope and thermometer, as I recall. They've been in the scientific equipment manufacturing and development arena since that time, and we're working our way up to our first century. Olympus also is maybe more commonly known for its photographic equipment or consumer goods. There's many avid photographers out there, I believe, in your audience. The other aspect of Olympus's endeavors is something maybe not so widely known as medical products. Olympus has a large presence in endoscopy and surgical equipment. So if you go and get your regular health checkup, you may encounter Olympus equipment and not really know it. With microscopy and measuring tools, as I indicated, Olympus has that long history and really the origins of the company. We have businesses in a variety of technology fields, from XRF, which is materials identification for raw materials or benchtop analytical work, remote visual inspection, where you would use essentially an industrial endoscope to check inside of a power plant or a jet engine, those sorts of activities, even for some recovery work and some of the unfortunate disasters that have happened lately.
Yes, yes, of course, it's all really vital stuff that Olympus is doing. And we get a break at the half hour, but Matt, when we come back, we want you to tell us about some of the other things that's being done with this modern optical telescopes, which are so revolutionary, and maybe some tip us off to high-speed video. We'd like to know something about that, too. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. In the Den of Strangers will we meet today?
You'll probably Sir Winston Churchill, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts.